Hello and welcome to Lunch with Leon. With the lockdown now something of a memory, we're all enjoying getting back together and meeting people at our conferences and events. That's why we're looking forward to seeing you at ITT Hub at Farnborough on the 11th and 12th of May, when we'll see the transport, manufacturing, data and energy industries all together for 2 days of riding, driving, learning and meeting. So I've recently been to another wonderful show. I was in Dubai for the UITP and MENA Transport Congress and Exhibition. Everyone was just so pleased to get back together again. It was a fabulous exhibition. So I saw a number of my old friends. I spoke first to Scott Shepherd from UITP.
So Scott, here we are at the UITP booth here at Congress. What's exciting for you here?
Can I say everything's exciting? So we're here for the MENA Transport Congress and Exhibition, which is jointly hosted by UITP and the RTA Dubai. We're in a very exciting part of the world for innovation, and we're here to discuss the future of mobility, what can happen to our sector beyond the pandemic, and all of the great innovations that will take us forward into the future.
Well, I have to say personally, isn't it great to be talking to people personally and not over Zoom? I'm really excited to see the fact we've got a fabulous turnout of exhibitors, fabulous turnout of visitors, and a great program. And best of all, we're giving out real business cards.
That's a great point that you make. It's very exciting for us because UITP is the only association of its kind to bring together the entire sector around the world. So we're very used to, during normal times, shall I say, events that bring people face to face to discuss our sector. So to have the chance to do that, and not only do that here in Dubai, it's a very important time for us, and we're all very happy to be here together.
So I'm chairing one of the sessions, and we're going to be talking about the post-coronavirus landscape, which I think is really interesting. I think it's going to be different in different parts of the world. I think we'll see different sorts of recovery. But I can't help thinking, without prejudging the conference itself, of course, is that maybe some of our market has gone forever. Is that a feeling held across the world?
So throughout the pandemic, UITP has very closely monitored ridership statistics, which have been shared with us by our members, the networks and the operators around the world. And we've been sharing that data and that research with our own members. Sure, as you say, a lot of operators did see their ridership fall very dramatically during the pandemic. But in many leading cities, it is back up to 80% and above during certain times during the week and the weekend. I think there's confidence that we can get it back, and we can get it back sooner than people think. We have to look at the scenario with people working from home and things like this. But there's confidence in the sector. I'm hearing that around this event. People are excited about the future, and there's the hope by sharing thoughts and collaborations like this that we can get back to a new public transport sooner than people may think.
That's fabulous news. And I think one of the things that will deliver it is the generational factor. You know, young people increasingly not having a driver's license, increasingly not owning a private vehicle, loving the fact that with their phone, they've got their spending power for their food, their drink, their travel.
Very true.
And of course, they have the environmental credentials that young people have, which is they want to save the planet.
Young people care more than anyone we know, I think. They're very focused on the climate debate. They're very interested in things like emissions and how they move around. They're looking for healthier, more connected and active cities. And I think young people are part of that future. We talk a lot at UITP about mobility as a service and, you know, the new mobility movement with apps and things like this. Young people, I think, will drive that because they are the ones that they don't necessarily want to be behind the wheel of a car anymore. They want to be doing things with friends and on their phone while using public transport. And the future, I think, is youth orientated, and we should all be looking to let them lead us, I think, with that.
Certainly that's where my optimism is, because I think the pattern will change. And as you rightly say, there'll be a blend of working from home and travel. I think travel for leisure is likely to be. So in the UK, in Victorian times, leisure travel was more popular on the railways than commuting. Commuting is actually quite recent. So on that basis, we can expect, I think, quite a good recovery on the leisure side. But I just see young people using their mobile phone, but not only to plan their journey, but to pay for their journey, to decide how to make the journey. And I think, unless you tell me otherwise, that's a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it? That's true everywhere?
I think so, absolutely. You know, we've spoken a lot during the pandemic about how public transport is COVID safe. if you follow the right measures, which the networks and operators are doing with the cleaning, and if you wear your mask as you're asked, it's very easy to be on public transport and be safe. And people are looking, as you say, to not only use public transport, but they're looking to move around with people, to go to leisure activities. People want to return to their life before, and public transport is a way to do that, to move around safely. It's the choice for all of us.
Indeed so. And so where next for UITP? So we're here in Dubai presently. We didn't go to Melbourne. Where do we
go next? We did not go to Melbourne. So we have a few events coming up. Obviously, COVID permitted, we constantly monitor the local situations. We should be in Karlsruhe in Germany for our IT Trans event in May, which is focused on digitalization and public transport. So like here, it's very innovative. It's very futuristic. And then, unfortunately, we did miss our global summit in Melbourne, but we will take the next global summit to Barcelona in 2023. So we're very strongly building towards that within UITP. We have a great local host there. And yeah, the future is very bright, we think.
What's UITP doing to ensure the success of its members around the world?
So UITP is, first and foremost, a member-led association. We have 1,900 members in over 100 countries now. It's a record for us to have that amount. We bring all of them around the table, and we're collaborating on many different things, and including the events we've discussed. We're very focused on publications. So that is content that is driven by the members based on their expertise and knowledge. And we're doing that via lots of briefs to look at the topics of the future, like mass, ticketing, all of these things that people are asking us to discuss. We're doing that with the members in the times ahead.
It would be fair to say then, as we come out of this terrible crisis and we recover into whatever the future holds for us, there is no better time for organisations to band together under the UITP banner and work for our mutual success around the world.
Exactly. Bringing people around the table, virtually and physically, UITP is leading that every day.
That's fantastic. Scott Shepherd from UITP, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Leon. Thank you.
Next, I was delighted to hear all about what was going on in Egypt from their commercial vice president, who's no stranger to London.
My name is Ahmed Al-Laythi. I'm the vice president for commercial for Mwasalat Misr, which literally translates into transport of Egypt. And I briefly take charge of commercial activities for the entire group. We operate around 300 buses over 63 routes in Cairo, Egypt. In addition to that, we fully own an advertising agency that is specialized in providing advertising services on top of operators, as well as a tech company that has developed its own automatic fare collection system, and a commercial facility management company that takes charge of the commercial activities that are attached to the terminal stations of our network.
So Ahmed, what brings you to UITP's event here in Dubai?
I was actually invited to speak about financial sustainability post-COVID, but it's a once-in-a-two-year event where you get to meet industry leaders in person, network, see what's out there. And Dubai has been on the front of innovation and leadership in the region. So we're here to learn and network more than anything else.
And what a great place to come and learn, because Dubai is a beautiful city. It has all sorts of different sorts of public transport, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And a few challenges, like the climate and energy. So what's the most exciting thing you've seen at the show so far?
Well, so far, the fact that looks like autonomous vehicles are coming sooner than we thought, that's quite insightful. I really look forward to how things will turn around in this part of the world and in the global south, where labor issues aren't as prevailing as Europe. So it's an interesting time to see how AI takes over yet another job. Huh?
Indeed. So I'm fascinated because I've had guests on this program on autonomous vehicles, some of whom say it will never happen. Some of whom say that we'll have autonomous passenger drones before we have fully autonomous vehicles on the ground. And others who say that, frankly, it's creeping up on us anyway. You buy a new car today, it has dynamic cruise control, it has lane keeping assist, it has automatic parking. It already is taking off much of the job. So do you think autonomous vehicles are coming soon?
At least not to this part of the world. At least when you have the infrastructure and when you have the basically that culture for it, the systems for it, the data for it, it could come easier. It could come faster. But I honestly do not seeing it coming to Egypt, Tanzania, India, Latin America anytime soon, because simply neither the data nor the infrastructure. The actual problem that autonomous vehicles do solve, which is lack of drivers, these problems aren't as profound.
And you know, Ahmed, you've been a resident in London in the past, so you'll be watching at some distance the terrible financial crisis that's going on for public transport in London, complete collapse in ridership and therefore fares revenue, an argument with the government about providing enough funds to keep the transportation going. But on financial sustainability generally, I mean, I think the problem globally is the passengers only want to pay a dollar or a pound to travel, but a new electric bus, £350,000, £400,000, for example, in UK terms, there's not enough money in the system to pay the drivers enough money and to get all the right equipment. So what's the answer?
In my opinion, in my humble opinion, there is no simple answer, of course, but the short version of what I think the answer would be is that the subway will continue to run. The London Tube will continue to run, of course, and it doesn't have such a deep financial problem such as London buses, for instance. And I believe that in the suburbs, in the places with lower ridership, on-demand mobility is will sooner or later replace fixed scheduled services that run all day and all night, regardless of how many people on board them. And these on-demand services and paratransit-like services will connect people to corridor bus routes that probably run on dedicated lanes. And these buses will have so many people coming from so many places to slightly damp down the effect of lower ridership.
And finally, Ahmed, what's the situation in Egypt post-coronavirus? I'm afraid, I'm ashamed to say I don't know what the situation is, but presumably you too have had a loss of ridership and life has been tough.
Well, to be completely honest, the significant drop in ridership happened only in Q1 2020. After that, it's a very different dynamic in this part of the world. North Africa, Middle East, UAE excluded, and India and parts of Latin America as well, is that working from home hasn't really happened because the general mass of the population and the general mentality for jobs isn't the same as in developed markets, as in Europe, as in maybe Southeast Asia. So the significant drop in ridership happened for a single quarter. And in response to that, paratransit services that run on fill-and-go operational model, they do not operate on timetables and scheduled services, they didn't feel a thing. They just had less trips in the same day because they took longer to fill. But they didn't lose money. For scheduled services, we did lose money as a scheduled service provider for a quarter. We jumped in with smaller buses on smaller vehicles on the same bus routes to absorb this level of ridership reduction. But in reality, I have to say that starting quarter two 2020, it's as if COVID never happened.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So your ridership is back to pretty well where
100%.
It was? 100%.
100%. Well, the only services that are significantly affected until now are two types of services. One, services that run to the airport. These are still significantly less in absolute ridership terms, but in terms of occupancy, what we've done in response to that is that we've modified our service schedules to absorb and adapt to the new norm. And the other services that are still significantly lower than it used to be is university-oriented service routes, because universities and schools are still somehow a hybrid activity between online and physical attendance. But when it comes to job market, it's as if COVID never happened.
Well, do you know, what a wonderfully optimistic way to end, because this program has listeners around the world. Yeah. I know many of our listeners are just wondering what ridership will settle back to after coronavirus. So isn't it wonderful to know that in Egypt, at least, ridership is back to 100% on the regular services. And as things improve, then the airport services and school services and so on will look like they'll recover as well. So, Ahmed, thank you so much
for
joining me today.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Really, really lovely to meet you here in Dubai, and look forward to seeing you next time.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Exhibiting at UITP's event was Optibus, the fast-growing global company delivering substantial efficiencies to transport companies around the world. Here is their strategic account director, Thomas Bourdon.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you for having us.
Indeed. So, well, I mean, what's exciting for Optibus here in Dubai?
Very exciting for us, since it's one of our first events in the region, and we want to launch the region in 2022. We want to hire a lot of local partners, a regional director for the region, and then for each and every countries. So it's a very exciting time for us, not only to meet clients, but to meet every local partners here.
So this is a whole new market for Optibus, isn't it? Because it's already got a huge market share in the UK. It's developing really well in Europe. We're working our way westwards in the United States. But this is all new here in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Very good points. Good market for us in Europe, North America, Latin America. We have clients in Africa and in Asia, and that's very, very new for us in the Middle East. So we are very much looking forward to start with a couple of operators this year, and hopefully some PTs as well.
So everything here in Dubai is just larger than life, isn't it? And they have light rail, they have metro, they have bus. Huge investment, yet not much demand yet for the public transport. Is that fair?
It is fair to say. It is fair to say. They have huge plan to increase usage in public transport for Dubai and also for countries like Saudi Arabia. When you see their forecasts, they want to double, triple or quadruple the number of people using public transport. But still fair to say that it's not a lot in use today.
No, it's interesting, but there's loads of technology here. I mean, inevitably there's zero emission vehicles, but I guess amongst the biggest of the technologies here, it seems to me it's always about the data, isn't it? It's about optimizing data. That's what Optibus does with scheduling, but also we see here at the show for engineering, for operations, for delivery and so on. I mean, data's the oil here, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's a very good point, and it's one of the concerns of a lot of clients here, and something that we can help with. As you know too well, we have very open APIs, and we try to integrate and to ingest any data from any format. So it's very interesting to see what will be useful for them here, and to understand which technology we need to integrate with in the future.
No, indeed. And certainly there's no shortage of people here. There's a tremendous lineup of speakers and panelists at the sessions, and no shortage of people here in the exhibition hall. So have you been to any of the sessions, or have you been stuck on the stand all the time?
I didn't have a chance yet. I was the only one from Optibus here yesterday, but no, there's a couple of us. I'm sure we'll have more time to check the sessions.
Well, it's a very exciting time, I think, for everybody who's in data. Days of people running their businesses without data has gone. I mean, now data is king. Optimizing, whether it's fuel economy, whether it's the charging profile, whether it's the scheduling, whatever it is. I mean, it seems to me that optimization is the watchword now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Either it's historical data to make the right decision and to understand where you will go in the future, thanks to what happened in the last few years, or even live data for dispatching or anything else. That's very much key today. And optimization will be key, and I hope that the region will change a bit, let's say, their mindsets and adopt a bit more cloud, so we can be a good player here.
That's brilliant. Well, listen, I hope you have a really good show, Thomas, and I'll be seeing you on the way around, and let's hope it's really good for Optibus.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Leon.
And finally, it's always tremendous to catch up with my great friend Paul Comfort, who is the Chief Customer Officer and Senior Vice President at Trapeze Group, as well as being host of that great podcast, Transit Unplugged.
Paul, here we are at UITP at Dubai. What's new for you?
Well, first off, it's the first time I've been to Dubai, and so it's an exciting city. We do a lot of work here with the taxi cabs, so getting kind of, you know, I know, Leon, when you were in London, taxi cabs were a big part of what you do, and they were integrated really into the overall public transport network. That's a new thing for the U.S. The U.S. really runs taxi cabs separate from, you know, it's not a lot of times they don't even think about integrating them. So it's great to see how they're doing it here in Dubai, plus seeing all these other great leaders from the Middle East and North Africa and all the new technology and how they're coming back out of COVID.
Yeah. And for you, what does the recovery look like? What are you seeing around the world?
So the main modes of transportation, I think city bus, light rail, and subways are coming back pretty good, especially downtown public bus service. But commuter buses and commuter trains from outside the city, the suburbs, they're still greatly depressed. Sometimes they're only up to 25% still. I was just talking to someone the other day about that. So, Leon, I think for the long haul, transit agencies are having to reevaluate what they're doing with commuter services and maybe focusing on other aspects, like we just talked about, like bringing in taxi cabs or micro transit, last mile solutions, and focused on policy objectives like environmental stewardship and adding equity inclusion to their cities by using the public mobility services they have.
So I've got a bit of a hunch that some of these things will come together, like the super taxi, you know, maybe 7 or 8 seats. In suburban city areas will be coming to the fore. And, you know, that's the first place where we'll have autonomy, because that's the place where autonomous vehicles can flourish, which is not right in the center of cities, but in the suburban areas in a demand-responsive environment. Does that feel right to you?
It does. I think that we're still exploring what the best uses for them are, but I think it won't be downtown. Nothing's going to replace right now the 40-foot bus or BRT. This is something, you know, campus shuttle transportation, overnight stuff, getting people from a parking lot in town, some of the suburban stuff you're talking about, that makes a little more sense.
Sure. And what's new for Trapeze? What can people look forward to here on the stand?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that we're focused on here is, again, the latest innovations with taxi cabs and micro transit and electric vehicles, charging the buses, monitoring the charge for dispatch, those kinds of things, planning the route so that you can figure out, okay, this bus can run 200 miles on a single charge, so I'm going to plan this route that way. So they've got all that technology coming to market now. And really the whole idea of being a partner for the journey with our customers.
Sure. Well, because my experience, as you know, is on the one hand, my experience was with Uber in London, because I licensed them when they first came to London.
Or didn't license them. Unlicensed them.
And of course, at the other end of the scale, we have the black cab.
And right.
So what's happened in London is the number of black cabs licensed has fallen dramatically. And rather fewer people now are doing this multi-year stint of learning the knowledge. So in your view, do we need the knowledge anymore? Does technology not do all that for you?
I don't think so, personally. I think technology is there to assist people. I'm a people person at heart, and I think that having that personal connection, having someone that you can have a conversation with is even more important than the technology. The technology should assist people, not replace them.
No, I can see that, because there's more to it, isn't there, than just the journey. There's more to it. There's the whole interface. There's the comfort. There's the safety.
That's right.
There's everything that you feel about being in a vehicle and with somebody who's licensed,
that's
approved,
right. Yes.
And is totally allowed to, and, you know, is able to carry you. You feel safe because this person has been through some sort of
yeah.
process.
And somebody's tracking them, you know. And yeah, so all that stuff, I think, is important, Leon. So as we go into the future, I think technology will be there to kind of be a force multiplier, but it's still back in the hands of the employees and the people.
Now, this particular event here in Dubai is sponsored by the Dubai Taxis, but actually there isn't even a taxi line outside the front door, is there? This is a place where you dial up your taxi to come and pick you up on a one-to-one basis. Right?
Isn't that something? Yeah, it's like taking the best of both worlds, taking the best of what you see Uber and Lyft do, but adding it to these licensed drivers, these 11,500 taxi cab drivers here in Dubai. It's amazing. And Matthew Brownlee, who's our managing director here, I was just interviewing him for something, and he told me about this new technology we've got that we're putting in there. You're not going to have to do the key exchange and all that stuff anymore. The drivers will be able to figure out where their vehicle is, their taxi cab, by looking at their phone. They will go there. If it's their shift, the door will open for their phone. They'll get in, put their thumbprint on it. It will log them in. They can ride. And then when they're done, they drop their vehicle off wherever and just walk away. And the next driver comes. Isn't that amazing?
Hey, Paul, do you know, the older I get, the more interested in the future I am. Is that just
That's
exciting?
Beautiful.
Isn't that really
yes,
great?
It is.
Looking forward for something like that, even like the menial tasks
the routine tasks that the drivers have to do in public transportation or in taxis, whatever,
right.
is that all this is being made easier, so they just focus on the job. Isn't that just fantastic?
It is. And, you know, I can't close out without saying thank you to you, Leon Daniels, for being really one of the great leaders in the whole Western world for public transportation, standing up, doing some unpopular things at times, but making sure that you kept the focus on the passenger. And to me, that's what this is all about. We're really there to make sure that the people who want to have public mobility and access all of life's opportunities can do it safely, efficiently, reliably, and with world-class customer service. So thank you for the role you played in London making sure that happened.
Oh, Paul, bless you. Thank you so much for that. Nobody ever made a tribute like that before. And I'm going to say, Paul Comfort, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you, Leon.
Leon Daniels has been at UITP in Dubai talking to their key people and the major exhibitors. It's time to get together and plan for the future, which will be zero carbon, driven by data and led by innovators. If we are going to succeed, it will be together. Let's take every opportunity to meet and learn. Check in at ittHub.net.